open by the meetings should take about 30, 40 minutes at the most. There is lunch available. Thanks again to Mike Daniel.
I know. That's awesome.
I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order at 10:06 on April 25. Good morning, everyone. My name is Annalisa Lukes, and I am the co-chair of the Orange County Workforce Development Board. Welcome to our special meeting. Today is April 25. Let's go ahead and start with a Pledge of Allegiance. I would like to ask Steve to lead us the pledge.
Again, Pledge of Allegiance.
The United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks so much. Okay, so let's go ahead and have our team member do board member roll call.
Maria Alvarado. George Bautros.
Here.
Kathy Boyd. Aaron Caswell, Rob Claudio,
here.
Steve Curiel,
here.
Mike Daniel, Andrew Fahmy,
here.
Sherry Hanlam, Bill Hewitt, Rajesh Shaw, Robert Knowles,
here.
Annalisa Lee,
present.
Doug Mangione, B. Felix Michelizio,
present.
Carlos Oregon.
Present.
And Todd Sport.
Here.
Randy Wetmer.
Here.
We have one.
Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and move to item four of the agenda. Are there any public comments?
No, there's no public comments.
Okay. No public comments. So we have two action items since the items are on the agenda. Let's start off with the fiscal year 2024-2025. We all one-stop system operator career services program by recommendations. You'll see a recommendation for staff to review, support staff's recommendation for the one-stop operator career services program funding. I'd like to turn it over to our director, Nancy Cook.
Thank you, Chair. On page three of your packet, you will find the one-stop operator summary, our recommendation summary. This item seeks for the board to review and approve the staff recommendation for the one-stop center operator services contract with America Works of California. They are incumbent server service provider currently. This program contributes to the economic development of the community by supporting job seekers and businesses by providing career services training and access to partner programs, and manages the infrastructure costs efficiently between the one-stop center partners. Background, Francis?
Okay, so background. So the term is will be for July 1, 2024 through June 30th of 2025, with the options to renew for three additional one-year terms. It's a $2 million contract for the first year of the contract. The operator, they basically serve as our operations for the center. So they run all the operations in the center. They provide support to all our partners in the center, as well as providing training services to all visitors to the center. So they serve all clients coming in. The current provider of America Works of California is our incumbent provider. They have been our operator for the last 4 years. During that time, they've assisted us with relocation of the center from Garden Grove to opening the center in Brea, as well as adding an additional center in Laguna Hills. They've met their performance expectations and been satisfactory in the management of the contract over the last 4 years. They were the sole response received in the RFP, and we did our contracts management department did reviews to make sure they met all the criteria of the RFP, as well as staff did review to make sure that they are qualified for the position, and we are recommending we're seeking your approval of our recommendation to contract with the American Works of California.
And their contract is for $2 million in totality. On page four is the youth program service provider. This item seeks for the board's review and approval of staff recommendation for the youth workforce program services contract with the city of La Habra, in line with the WIOA Act to provide eligible youth services to ages 14 to 24 to access employment and education advancement opportunities, career exploration, counseling, and assist with the elimination of barriers. That's just for background.
Again, this is the same terms as this contract, July 1 through 2024 through June 30th, 2025, with the option to renew for three additional one-year terms. This contract amount is for $2.7 million of that funding. $2,025,000 is for out-school youth, and the remaining $675,000 is for in-school youth. The City of La Habra is our incumbent service provider. They have been our service provider for the last 4 years. They've been their performance standards have been received as satisfactory over this last year. As far as branding goes, they're better known as Ready, Set, OC. That's how we brand them, but the City of La Habra is the service provider. They provide services out of our comprehensive center in Brea. We also provide services out of our affiliate location in Laguna Hills, as well as additional service centers where we're assisting justice-involved individual youth in our probation centers, in the Youth Guidance Center, the Youth Leadership Academy, the Manchester Office Building. Now they also assist youth in the Orangewood Foundation. They provide services out of the Joint Training Forces in Los Alamitos, as well as providing services on our mobile unit. During the RFP, we did receive a total of four organizations which responded. We had a panel of experts review all the applications, and the City of La Habra was the highest scoring in the recommended service provider.
And that contract totality is $2.7 million. On page five of your packet, we have a recommendation.
How do they determine the amount that we have in school and out of school?
It's a percentage breakdown by the formula funding that comes down from the state.
Yeah, so
it's based on population, it's based on youth.
It's a funding required. 75% of our funding has to go to our school youth, and 25% has to be in school youth. That's tied to the WEOA funding requirement.
Yeah.
And that was set by the Fed.
Yeah.
And they have, for whatever reason, we don't know why they made that determination.
It's off of enrollment of certain area, too.
Well, this is a federal, it's across the nation, so it's different across where we might have a greater need for out of school youth. I don't know where they got that, but some of my question why it doesn't make sense for Orange County, or it might make sense for Riverside. So it's an interesting scenario, but there's no negotiation.
We'll do the last one, and then I'll turn it over to the chair for discussion. So page five of your packet is the Adult Dislocated Worker Career Services Provider. Our recommendation summary is this item seeks approval of the Fifth Amendment for the WEOA Career Services contract with Career Teams to fund the continued provision of employment and training career services for the Orange County Adult and Dislocated Worker Program. This contract will be effective for July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2025.
So this is to basically amend the contract for one more additional year for our career services provider, which is Career Team. The new contract amount would be for $3.7 million for the new program year, which is broken up into $1,591,000 in adult services and $2,109,000 in dislocated worker services. Just to answer the question as far as the funding split and why that amount, that's tied to the ratio of the funding dollars we get. So we get approximately 57% funding for dislocated workers and 43% funding for adult populations. And so we pass that through to our contracts. They're responsible for providing all career services. They provide services out of our center in Brea, as well as our affiliate location in Laguna Hills. We also provide services out of our affiliate locations, such as the Los Alamitos Training Base, the Lacey Center, Women's Jail, probation, South location. So for certain justice-involved populations in remote capacities as well with them, as well as providing a case manager on our mobile unit when it goes out in the community. This is the third year of their contract. So on a four-year RFP cycle.
I'm sorry, but you just mentioned a whole bunch of stuff about jails and probation. Is that all tied up in this?
Into their contract?
Yes.
Yeah, they're responsible for providing our career services. So wherever we're providing career services out of all of our affiliate locations, they're responsible for providing case management.
Okay, so what I see here is adult center services and dislocated workers. That included in jails and incarceration and all of the other things?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, those are the yeah, they're captured in that that funding stream.
All right, thanks.
Chair, great. Okay, so do we bifurcate all three or the three of them? All of them. Okay, I'll go ahead and enter. Thank you for the presentation. I'll go ahead and entertain a motion to approve item five, which are the fiscal year 2024-2025 WEOA one-stop system operator services planning recommendations. So we'll do a motion, a second, and then we'll discuss, and then we'll go into a little discussion. Is there a motion?
Yes.
Moved by Bill. Let the record reflect the came at 10:12. Is there a second?
Second
by Rob. Now let's discuss. Yes. Okay, discussion. Yes, Steve, and then.
So for the one-stop contractor, is there a concern that we only have one applicant and people of Wayne Orange County don't like to work with us? Or is that normal?
It is normal. The last time we did an RFP 4 years ago, we also only received a single bid. I think we're pretty fortunate though, because the service provider we do have, our incumbent service provider, is actually doing a very good job for us. If we found ourselves in a situation where we didn't get proposals, we do have the option to bring those services in-house, but it's a lot of additional work that's required there and a lot of requirements that we have to go through for that system. Our current provider, it is strictly a cost reimbursement contract. So basically they're fronting the cost to operate the center, if you will, and then we reimburse that. So they do a good job. Yeah, but yes, we would have loved to have had more proposals. We did have four letters of intent, but we actually only received one proposal.
And if they weren't deemed as responsive, we could also go back out to RFP.
With what?
We could go back out to RFP if they weren't deemed as responsive.
The follow-up is going to be if they did not pass scrutiny with the deputy purchasing agency,
we would go back,
go back out or decide to go in-house, which is probably not something we would want. Okay.
Bill, actually, Robert, and then Bill.
Well, thank you. And my question was very much in line with Steve's there. And so I think you answered it in the sense that there were four other companies that at least put their hat in the ring to the extent that they were interested in the bid. It's not just one company we can go in.
Yeah, they submitted interest, but they did not submit an application.
Okay. Yeah.
You said, maybe misunderstood. You said cost reimbursement, but we're giving them dollar availability. Is that what we're doing?
So the maximum obligation we have under the contract is $2 million for the year, but it's all our WEOA contracts are strictly cost reimbursement, meaning they pay their expenses and then they invoice in arrears.
Okay, I was thinking about delivering services to an individual and then reimbursing them to that individual. No, that's not the case. That was my question.
So just some input from my end, because our staff actually work with America Works, and we've had, an interesting ride with, having to move from Garden Grove to Brea. It's kind of like you don't know that you're related to people and that you're going to really like them until you go to the move. Fight about the list basket, or does it go? my staff can't say enough about the America Works folks, and my personal observation, they're very responsive. The staff are very customer service oriented with the people coming to the center. They've done a really good job there. And then my other comment would be the one-stop center operator. The reason I think we don't have a lot of people apply, it's just not a big money maker for people. It costs a lot more money if we were to have brought it in-house, because then you have county staff and county salaries and all of that to be able to pay for things. So I'm glad that that they're doing a good job. But that's typically, through the course of the years that I've been with this board, why either you get the same people that we did, or there's a lack of other makers because it's not a huge.
Thank you.
Now, I'll say the same. My staff has been very happy with when we've been visited, when I visited, it's been very customer-centered and customer-focused. Curious, do they typically, so I can see there's a risk because they're up front, they're fronting it, and I can see how they're probably very good at this, so minimizing risk. But do they actually get reimbursed for this bolstering in?
It's strictly cost reimbursement. So they get reimbursed for the cost they incur.
So is there any money left over? Does they always get that?
That was my next question.
I mean,
they usually expend it.
We want our contractors to fully expend their contracts. Yeah, with their contract for the last service year, I would say they're over 95% expended, and it was a slightly larger contract.
Okay. A question, and then I'll go to two questions. I understand that it's cost reimbursement. I'm curious to know whether it's also performance based. I think that was a conversation that we had to position. Contract
moving forward? Yeah, so the operator contract is not performance-based. The previous RSP cycle, we did have a pay-for-performance component. That component's been removed this year. So with the operator, that there are no WIOA requirements or performance metrics tied to operator services. So we didn't feel it was fair or just to have performance requirements which aren't tied to the funding stream, just because maybe we want to add something.
Yeah. But you're pleased with the performance for us. And there's a background around why that even came up for those of us who were on the board years ago. And it wasn't necessarily for the operator of the center, it was for another part of the work. So thank you for that. And I want to commend the staff. I know that there was a transition year, so to be able to get to this point still on time before the contract is to start is commendable. So thank you for all of that, despite and in light of all the movement, you still got it done. And then moving ahead, I'm curious to know the LOIs or the letters of intent, did they come from the United Kingdom where they are? Were they from the region? Were they from outside the region? Did they indicate why they didn't decide to move forward?
They didn't indicate why, but they were from both within and
okay.
They have patient-led services.
I would just encourage us to continue having that. And I know this was a truncated schedule because of the transitions, but good job on that. Carlos and then George.
So, given the cost of reimbursement, do they project a plan for the year that you review and audit?
So they submit it with the RFP, a budget breakdown, and we give kind of like a, this is what infrastructure might cost, this is what the staffing might cost, and then they propose a budget that we review.
And does that stay the same year over year without any impact from inflation or market costs?
There's a built-in for rent increases.
Yeah, so they submit a high-level budget. And a detailed budget with their contract. We do see increased costs year over year for salary. I mean, rent was a big one for us, right? We went from a single location in Garden Grove to two locations, Brea being twice the size of Garden Grove. So there was an increase there in those infrastructure costs.
George?
Yeah, thank you. I want to go back to a previous question Todd had. We did the breakdown for the in-school youth versus out-of-school youth, 75% goes to, was it
in-school? Out-of-school.
Out-of-school.
Yeah.
The breakdown on here seems like 25% goes to out-of-school. Is it mixed up on the budget?
Yeah, those numbers are backwards, correct?
It's backwards? Okay.
Yeah.
So that just needs to get flip-flopped.
Yep.
And it should. Okay.
Yeah. No, you're correct. Great observation. Yeah. Our school youth is 75%.
Okay. So they would get 2,025,000. Yeah. Okay. That was it.
The dollar amounts are right, but no, you're correct. Yeah. Those two lines can be flipped.
And that program is Ready, Set, OC.
That's Ready, Set, OC.
Okay. That's all I had, sure.
Thanks,
Church.
Yes. I think we have Steve
Going along with out of school and full disclosure, I was a partner in one of the applications for the grant. So this is, I hope it doesn't sound self-serving, but it is self-serving in the sense that I'm thinking about our students and the services that they would have access to. And in that area where we are, Huntington Beach, Garden Grove, Costa Mesa, we're looking for trying to get a broader footprint of the services. And so when I look at the agency, they're a little more, seems to, at least they're not close to where our students are that would be accessing services, where in the past when OCAPICA, I think was a provider, they were right next door and they're actually right across at the mall with us, Anderson, right there. So it was really convenient. But it seems like the focus is justice involved, foster youth, will hire maybe students, former students that are have higher barriers, a lot of barriers, challenges. Is that kind of where the committee went, or And I can understand. I can totally understand.
I think it's responsive to the WIO recommendations to serve those barriers populations. But we will be putting out an RFP for special populations that will kind of capture everything that isn't currently captured in our youth ranking.
I'm hard of hearing.
No.
You got the ear right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I said we will be putting out a special populations RFP in the upcoming months that will capture kind of other programs that aren't focused on.
I'm just more, it's more the geography of, if you think of these out-of-school youth, they don't travel well, like, you know, they're just local, and so having as big a broad a network of access is what we would have looking for. But that's all. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, is there a mid-year check-in with the operator to see how they're trending according to, you know, the budget, and then also as far as the services are being provided?
There's monthly check-ins with the contract manager. So each contract has a manager assigned to it to check on the invoices, make sure the expenditures are within allowable ranges. Their invoices are also capturing allowable and performance as well. And for the operator, we do monthly satisfaction surveys with our participants and our partners.
And those typically, at least in the past, get reported into the committee meetings.
Into the committee
meetings. So that there's even more oversight at the committee level for any kind of check-ins and questions.
And then Steve is our one-stop operator committee chair.
Okay. Any other questions, discussions? All right, hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any extensions? No. Motion carried unanimously. Thank you. Item number six, one-stop memorandum of understanding. Staff recommends that we release our one-stop MOU between the local board and one-stop partners consistent with the NOAA concerning the operation of the one-stop delivery system.
Thank you, Chair. On page 7 of your packet, so from page 7 to 110 is the entire one-stop MOU. It's a long document, but it includes all the partners, and I'll let Francis give a little bit of a background. So this is an item that we would have taken to the one-stop committee prior to bringing it to the board, but we're coming to the full board.
Okay, so yeah, the memorandum of understanding is for all one-stop partners, those who are also co-located in our centers and those who aren't co-located in our centers. It outlines referral processes, services offered by each of the providers, and also one of the larger components of it is the infrastructure agreement. The MOU, the one-stop MOU, is typically a three-year cycle. The last one was approved in September of 2022. It's good through June of 2025. However, we had a substantial change this last year where we changed facilities, right? So we went from being in Garden Grove to opening Laguna Niguel and into Brea, which was a significant change. And because of that, we're required to create a new MOU. It's not just like a simple amendment because of this, the significance of the change. So this new MOU will be good through 2026, June of 2026. Happy to answer any questions you have about it.
Why don't we entertain a motion to approve and a second, and then we'll discuss. Is there a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Moved by Steve, is there a second? Second by Todd, let's go ahead and discuss.
Yes. Questions. There is a lot to go through here, but I think just what I'm thinking about is who does this impact and what changes for us as a board in this MOU?
So the changes from the previous MOU, the current one, to the new one, the main change has been the infrastructure agreement, right, which is the cost sharing of the one-stop. So if you co-locate in a one-stop, you share the cost of that center. And the calculation is basically based on the space you occupy compared to the space that other people occupy. So you share in the cost because the one-stop comes, it's basically turnkey, if you will. It's like kind of moving into a fully furnished home, right, that you rent. It has all the computers, it has data, it has electricity, it has customer service staff to check your clients in. It's turnkey, right, for your services, but there's costs associated with that. And so you share the port. If you're co-located, you share based on the portion of the space you occupy. So that was the main substantial change. We did update some of our partners' information. So when this MOU went out, we sent it out to every single organization and we allowed them opportunity to share information about what services their organization provides. So we updated that information if there were any changes there. If we didn't receive any information from an organization, we didn't list it. those are basically the only changes that happened. And as far as signatures go, so we've got approximately 35 partners in there. It's gone out. All of them have reviewed and signed, with the exception of two. We're still waiting on the Greater Irvine Chamber of Commerce and then the United American Indian Involvement. We're still waiting on their signature, but we've collected all the other signatures. And if we don't receive their signatures before the Board of Supervisors date, we'll just remove them from the MOU since they're a non-signing partner. And hopefully in the future they do, and we can do an amendment.
I have a question to that end of it, Steve. So if there are future partners with relevant services or complementary services, can they still become part, or are you fully...
No, we can add. That would just be an amendment, because it's a non-substantial change, right? We're just basically adding a partner to one network.
Would that require this board's approval as well as...
No. It's just non-substantial.
Yes. Steve and Andrew.
So when there was in Garden Grove, we took the opportunity to have one of our staff there talk about our services, and they had really reasonable/cheap pricing structure to have a cubicle in their presence, so that was great. So in this transition, do we still have the same level of partners? You mentioned 35 right now. Are we up, down?
We're about level as far as like partners total. As far as co-located partners, we're probably down one, but we've got a new one joining us next month. So we're about the same. And we are looking for partners. I'd say we've got about 20% of our center available for more co-located partners. We're obviously wanting to bring more partners in if we can.
And is that part of the revenue structure, like they're budgeting, they're hoping to have so many partners paying for so many, a certain portion of the cost?
Yeah, so that's kind of part of what the operator does, right? So the operator contract that we have, they kind of act as the landlord. So they collect rent from the partners and then pay to the county is the leaseholder for the facilities, but then the operator pays the county. So so any unoccupied space that the operator absorbs those expenses from. So we do like to, we do want to be as fully occupied as possible.
Steve kind of took my question. I was just curious if it's part of the revenue model, where that funding goes or what it supports, like just it supports the operator.
Yeah, but basically it's paid back into the operating costs of the center is, because the center's costs are strictly cost reimbursement. Right, so we're not generating revenue here, we're just offsetting costs. So when we've got someone paying rent for being a co-located partner, it's offsetting the costs of the center. So we're not generating any revenues here. It's all costs offset.
Quick question regarding 20% still available. What can this board do to help? Because having a full occupancy would benefit not just the board's community as well. And can you tell us a little bit about what the profile is of an ideal partner?
Sure. So we've got two categories, right, of ideal partners. One would be programming that assists job seekers. So think of career services, whether it's the Department of Rehabilitation is one of our co-located, we help individuals with disabilities. CSEP is for older adults. So it's workforce programming for older adults, for example. So different populations, any kind of workforce programming for job seekers. And then business, and that this is really kind of an untapped area, but organizations that provide support to businesses would be great to come into our center too. We do provide a lot of business services in-house, as you've seen. I mean, you all have presentations from Zitlalik where she tells you about what we're doing with our in-house services, but we do have room for partner organizations to come in and provide services to businesses too. So that's an untapped resource. So if you're aware of any businesses who assist small businesses, Orange County businesses, in whatever way, it could be that they could be a good partner for us too.
So I'm one of the folks that did meet all of it, because I'm in a lot of parts of it. There's two things that this document really does for us. It kind of defines how we work together with all the different partners so that we can try to avoid duplication and referrals to each other where necessary. There's a big part of WIOA that talks about the co-enrollment process, so that if there's somebody that are being served by us and at the same time are being served by Title One, that we use our funds to better leverage our money, so we are not both expending money for the same thing, but we're both being more strategic about it. So it talks a lot about that too. On the infrastructure costs, we're probably going to be the biggest that pay rent there once the sublease is finally executed. But yes, in that piece of it, the staff that provide reception services, the equipment that we utilize to be able to assist customers printing, Wi-Fi, internet, all that equipment, that's shared. And so we let go of purchasing and utilizing our own equipment years ago because it's just easier to pay our fair share to the person operating the center. And also, we don't have to deal with all of these contracts that we would have with vendors that would expire in 2 years, and then we have to go out to bid again. So it's a lot easier for the folks.
So just some perspective.
I have a question. So if you're housed in one of the one-stops, mm-hmm. right, would you apply for
unemployment? Yeah, so unemployment is universal. That's one of the access points. It's written into EOA law, the legislation. So yes, in California, unemployment insurance is all done virtually. It's not done in person. Yeah, so you can come into the center and utilize phones if you wanted to call directly or file online through one of the computers. But many, many years ago in California, there was a real tragic incident that happened in Oxnard, California, where an unemployment insurance claimant was upset that he was not found eligible and came back and shot people and actually killed some individuals. So based on that whole tragic thing that happened, they decided that in person was no longer a viable way to conduct that business. So it became virtual, and that's why there's no UI people actually in person. Our EBD workforce service staff are well versed enough in trying to get people to the right direction of either filing online or on the call. They can assist with a call. In particular, folks that have financial hardships, where they have to get through to somebody, have the ability to get them through quicker. And then they still have paper applications that are provided at the center. And I've actually been there when the America Works staff, they actually handle a good amount of that information as well. So they've become really well versed. And then if they can answer a question, they'll come and get our staff. So that's how it's handled.
Sure. Yes.
A question, and perhaps it's been answered, and I apologize. The total funds under purview of this board, is it what's these pages add up to, the 8.4 million, mm-hmm. or is there more funds?
Yeah, there's more. I think it's about 18-ish.
About 12, I think. Oh. About 12. 12 million annually. We haven't really funded. But these three contracts we've obligated just under 9, but then as Nancy mentioned, we're going out for special populations RFP, so hopefully we're going to bring in some more additional programming. And then there's also staff, county staff supporting all the yellow programming is also paid for from that money as well.
Do we ever see a total budget? Is that also the same?
Program budgets. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we do share the full volumes at base of the budget schedule.
And like we discussed, I think it was at the last meeting with CWA, we will get visibility over that, although really the work of this board is, for lack of a better word, tied to other activities within the County of Orange Community Resources Services. So think of it as leveraging funding to provide more than OCWDB work. But that's something that does and will come before us. I think I saw a hand on the side.
I just got me thinking, just curious. So I totally can see that happening. Unemployed, I don't want to work, but I want my unemployment check. They're upset and they've got some issues that happen. That scenario, as you explained, they're going to the one stop. Fine, they're still upset, you still have that, but in the way it's handled, because the staff's not there, but you have one stop center staff now dealing with that customer, it's better mitigated. I can say, well, it's not me, it's a person online that's saying no. And
our staff have been really good, well skilled, and trying to handle a disgruntled customer. But the first thing that they do make it clear is we're not the unemployment insurance office, and we're not the ones making that determination. We're here to help. You want the board to show you how to appeal the decision, or to be able to get through. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of that. Yes.
Taking UI out of the picture, then what role is an EBD playing in the one step? Other than UI.
So we're Title III, that we're part of the WIOA legislation. So Wagner Pizer are the funds that are collected from our tax dollars that go to the federal government, and the federal government reissues that money back to each state to provide services to the job seekers that are unemployed or underemployed, and to provide services for employers to fill their jobs. So that's our main part of that title, being a Title III partner under the WIOA legislation. So we're there to help everybody. We, unlike Title I, don't have eligibility requirements to serve our customers. So we don't have to do eligibility. We serve everybody. We under a mandate from the Department of Labor provide reemployment services to all unemployed job seekers. Everybody who files for unemployment, they have to come and see us at EBD, and they have to get some additional reemployment services as a result, because we don't want them to stay unemployed for a long period of time. And when they come through those appointments, they also get referred to our Title III partners, because a lot of those folks may want to participate in training, and we don't do training, but Title I does, or the rehab does. So that's how we do referrals, to be able to help the job seeker. And we do a lot of employer services, a lot of outreach. We're very well post-pandemic. We're approaching during the pandemic, everything is virtual, and everyone is doing anything in person. We're back to everybody wants to do it in person. And it's good, because I think the job seeker, it puts a face to the name of a company, and vice versa for the employer to see the individual. And they can have those conversations to see if they could be a good fit for the employer. So we do a lot of that.
Big discussion. Okay. Thank you so much for that. That's a really good, wonderful partner. Been on the board for 16 years, 33 years now.
Far too long.
Okay, I'm going to call the question. All in favor of approving item 6, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion carries unanimously. Congratulations. Item 7, director's report.
Very brief. We are in full compliance. The local board received our certification by the state. We're nearly fully at capacity with our board, so thank you for all your support. We have no more outstanding EDD audits. The OCCS Advisory Board has sent out some forms. Those are not mandatory. It's if you are planning to attend a conference, it kind of expedites the reimbursement process. So we're making every effort on our end to kind of guide the reimbursement process. So if you are going, you can fill them out. If you're not, you can just keep them on hold until you're ready. A couple board member highlights. Would love to thank Mike Daniel for hosting us today. Really yes. Appreciate that. He's been a great partner even beyond hosting us and really linking us to the Small Business Network. So we appreciate that. Another one is Annalisa, our chair, was recently interviewed by Chapman News. And so thank you for representing us and giving the speech about the OC Workforce Solutions. Yeah. So that should be airing next week. We can send you out the link. And to Todd Sword, he's introduced us to a number of businesses that we were able to connect with and provide business services to. So that's a great relationship. I just wanted to kind of thank the board for its very active board, and we're doing a lot of great work. So thank you. One more. Andrew Feeney has connected us with the Hospitality Tourism. Yeah. What are they called?
Hospitality Training Academy.
And so, and there's some kind of work there that we can do with the training component. So thank you for that. That's one of our priority industries. Upcoming events in your packet, the very last two pages, page 111 and 112, we have a career fair coming up May 1st in partnership with Supervisor Doe and the City of Garden Grove. We have employers set to attend there. It is at the Garden Grove Community Center. And the flyers are there for you, for your reference. The week of May 6th, we're going to be doing the Youth Apprenticeship Week activities, working with local, we have the International Brotherhood of Electric Workers, I'm going to connect with Randy for the Iron Workers. And so if you have any interest in participating or referring businesses for our liaison there. Our rapid response team has been very active, especially with the 99 cent store closures, and really going out and doing, they visited all the site locations within Orange County. So we're making good progress there. And they do rapid response virtual webinars the second Wednesday of every month, just for any kind of businesses that aren't, you know, in the one system. And the next full board meeting is May 29th. And at that meeting, we'll bring the performance and the committee chair report out. So this is kind of a special meeting to take care of those urgent action items. So thank you.
Yes. And a few of us are going to be at the California Workers Association conference as well. So yes. Thank you so much, Nancy. Thank you so much, staff. I really appreciate your support. Thank you to the board for attending. Couldn't stress enough how your engagement means a lot to the work that Nancy's team does, the work that we do. At this time, I'd like to invite any open discussion, any questions we might have. I know that we have ongoing discussions every time we have an item, which is great. Really encourage that.
Question. You said we're almost full on our board.
Yeah.
Are there specific areas?
Business, hospitality, tourism.
Okay. So. Healthcare, we're covered.
Healthcare, we have B from Providence. Mm-hmm.
And can we share more? Working on hospitality.
I had a quick question. I noticed that we have some mandatory partners for that we're looking for, like we owe a Title I adult/dislocated worker, etc. Is there anything that we could do to help connect and try to bring
in absolutely. So we have Steve for the adult Title II adult ed representation. We're really looking for businesses and hospitality tourism to kind of fill those last open spots.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And so just refer them to Annalisa or myself and we'll meet with them and vet.
Okay.
Sorry, were you talking about partners like the one stop system?
Partners for the one stop system. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, if you. So the one partner that we don't have that we're still working on is Job Corps. They're located in Long Beach. We're trying to get them to come down to Orange County. We're working on it.
Okay.
But they're the only local mandated partner who we don't currently have.
Because
some are mandated, but they're not local. Therefore, we can't require them to be in our center.
Okay, got it. That was my question. Thank you.
Great. Other comments? Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, I'd like to comment on the workshop that we went to, the training thing. That was very, very, very helpful. Just so you're all aware of that. But it brought up a lot of questions. The one question that keeps coming back to me is, you said something about that required not to promote, advertise, or anything else about the program.
Marketing and outreach is allowed now. And
it is allowed.
So there's certain parameters that we have to meet, but it is allowed now.
How do you get out there if you can't market?
And we will include the PowerPoint in the next full meeting packet.
Okay, thank you.
So again, thank you for your support. Please keep helping our team get connected with the business community. Your seekers. Have a good rest of your April and a great meeting. Go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 10:50. Thank you. Of course. And so-